people who sit off the reservations and criticize the governments and the various action activities going on the reservation. I think that they should go back and help the people instead of just criticizing.
It seems to me that the first task of the university is to hear the attitudes and evaluate them, and I think that you are doing an excellent job tonight of letting us hear them and articulating the difficulties as you see them. And then I think our response ought to be to agree with you where what you say is obviously true and where you demonstrated it to be true, and to move as rapidly as possible into adopting some of the solutions that you recommend and that others may recommend as we move along. I think that I would hope that this is the basic stance of the university. As Dr. Hedy said at the beginning, we've been trying to do some things, and hopefully we can continue.
So, in other words, you feel that the response that the university administrators and faculty members should, the type of response should be one that more or less is revolutionary along with the attitudes. You think that this response should be willing to provide a change within the educational system?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, Eddie was hinting at this earlier, I think. It seems to me that the University of New Mexico, particularly with respect to the Mexican-American, Spanish-American culture, is an ideal spot for some revolutionary notions about education. And I think there are some stirrings on the campus in this direction, and I think these things that are going on, not just with the Mexican-Americans, but particularly them because of their larger numbers, it seems to me it makes makes good sense. And by the same token, the Indian culture in New Mexico has made so many tremendous contributions, and I think the university has an opportunity here to recognize what's going on. And as you point out, the black community in the state of New Mexico has not really taken advantage or been in a position to take advantage of the opportunities at the university to the extent they should. And to this extent, I certainly think we must, I would accept your word, revolutionary or revolutionized, because I think it's a time of revolution.
Dr. Lavender, thank you very much. With that, let us close this first half hour. Our guests on this edition of the Educational Process have been Dr. Harold Lavender, Vice President for Student Affairs at the University of New Mexico, Barbara Brown, a member of the Black Student Union, Conroy Chino of Kiva Club at the University, and Eddie Benavides, who is in Student Affairs and on the Arts and Sciences Dean's Advisory Council. Thank you very much for being with us. We hope you'll join us again next week. Program, we're going to accept your telephone calls and your comments concerning the things that we've talked about in the first half hour of this program. We hope that you have some. Before we get to the telephone calls, however, I'd like to ask one general question, and we can keep it brief or general, depending upon how the telephone calls go this evening. I'd like to kind of ask all of you what you feel your responsibilities are to your people now that you are, I think you're all juniors and seniors, now that you're just about to finish the university. What kind of responsibility does this carry with it, Conroy?
I've often felt there's like two aspects to education, and one of them is like you've got a responsibility to your people. Like, for myself, coming from a tribe, that's the people you identify with, like to say that that's you, practically, your people are you. And, I'd like to want to go back and, become intermediary between my people and the white society. Plus the fact that, to become somewhat successful in a technological world, yeah.
Barbara?
I think my responsibility to my people, and I think the responsibility of any black student or black person to their people, is more or less, when you go to the university, use your knowledge and skills that you acquire there to go back into your communities and to help improve your communities in any way possible. And that's the main thing, is just going back into the community with this knowledge and skills about things and improving the community there and helping black people as a whole.
Eddie? Well, I think the fact that we're here tonight and that we've been working in the university itself points to one thing that I think we talked before of a revolution
or a revolutionary process. I think this in itself is a revolutionary process. I think that now more than ever we don't sit down and say, well, I made it, so if I made it, everyone else can. I think that now we want to help others come here. We have something, the Mexican Americans, that very few other people have. We have something we call la raza, and there's a carnalismo of la raza. And it really, well, one thing really bothers me is whenever they publicize la raza and they put the race, but there's so much more that goes in there. There's the brotherhood, the feeling that we are one and that we can help each other. In the past, so many that have finished college or have graduated from high school have forgotten that they can go back and help others get here. And this is what we want to do today. Our responsibility goes as far as bringing these people here, going down and talking to the kids, telling them, we'll help you in any way we can. Many have left here brainwashed. They have forgotten that their culture. They keep their culture behind doors because so often they've been told that their culture is not accepted in public. And now we say, well, this is what we are, so we will be accepted, and we will show you that there's more that can make it too.
Okay, fine. Let's go to the telephone calls. This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
What are some of the educational and cultural opportunities that are now open to the blacks especially?
Would you repeat your question, please?
She said, what are some of
What are some of the educational and cultural opportunities now available to the blacks?
Educational and cultural opportunities that open to the black right now are like on paper, and they're just in the process of being written up, and it's being discussed between black students and the administration. Now, starting next year, we're hoping to get a program that would recruit a substantial amount of blacks from the community of Albuquerque and the state of New Mexico to the University of New Mexico. And also these students would be financed. We're trying to find financial assistance and things like this, and also free tutorial services and things like this. So right now we're aiming in the direction of getting more blacks here and assisting them when they get here. And as far as the cultural aspect is concerned, the Afro-American Culture Center that has been set up will be dealing with cultural programs, lectures, art, music, and so forth, that would deal with the black aspect of culture. And this would involve people from the community also. We're going to work with people in the community. The benefits that would be accomplished through the Black Studies program would more or less be for the black community here in Albuquerque in the state.
Okay, fine. Let's go back to the telephone. This is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. My name is William Martin. I'm director of Pope Joy Hall, and I want to address about 2,000 questions to Barbara Brown. First of all, Barbara, have you ever been in Pope Joy Hall? Have you been to the Art Museum or the Recital Hall in the Fine Arts Center? Have you ever had an experience of cultural events on the university campus?
Okay, do you want her to answer these individually?
I'm not done yet.
Well, that's what I didn't really think you were. So, Barbara, why don't you go ahead and answer?
First of all, no, I have not been to any of the cultural events in Concert Hall. First of all, in order to get people to go to these events, you use advertisement. And the type of advertisement that I've seen as far as those events are concerned didn't interest me in the least. I mean, like, they showed no aspects of the type of cultural and things that I would go and see. So if you do have black culture included, you didn't advertise it.
Well, this is odd. We've had in Pope Joy Hall in the past 3 years almost 400 programs of all types. In the Art Museum there have been probably 12 showings a year. In the Recital Hall, probably 500 or 600 programs in the past 3 years. Among these programs, we have brought in Marion Williams in the soul and jazz, one of the great soul singers, and in the audience there were no more than 11 Negroes. no more than 11 blacks. Louis Armstrong came and sailed on this campus. Hallelujah Train with the Eva Jessie Choir, an all-black program, had only a handful of blacks in the audience. My feeling is that culture has no color. Is Shakespeare's Hamlet black or white? Does Barbara Brown not want to see Hamlet? Does it mean nothing to her? Does it matter if Hamlet is black or white? Do Bach and Beethoven, Mozart and Wagner present a color barrier? And if so, what is black music? What is white music? What is black art? What is black architecture of all things? What is black culture? What do you want to hear, Barbara, or see, and why haven't you presented your wishes to the Cultural Program Committee? At the present time, soul is contemporary music. We have played it in Popejoy Hall, and you did not come. Why not? It's your type, as you say, your type of music. It's what you want to hear.
Okay, first of all...
Arts have never recognized, nor have they ever given preference to color. They are neither black nor white. The arts operate in a color vacuum.
Okay, can I have her answer you then off the phone, okay?
She could write a thesis.
Probably so. Thank you very much for your questions. Barbara?
First of all, as I said before, if those events have gone on, it's a very big surprise to black students here on campus. As I said, they haven't been advertised because none of this, we knew nothing about these events, 500 or 600 events that he's talking about. First of all, I disagree about the fact that music and art and culture has no color. Well, as far as black people are concerned, I think black music sprang from a black situation. You express your inner feelings through music and art and things of this nature. And to say that I can express the same type, my music would more or less be expressed the same way as a white man's music would is not true, because we're coming from different situations. If your music and art is expressed through the situation that you arrive from, then that's why they're different, because the black situation and the white situation is different. And by situation, I mean your environment, where you are in society and things, how do you relate to society and things like this. Like black music, it's blues and jazz and soul. And what do we mean by soul? It means that our music really get down to the problems that most black people face in everyday life. Now you can compare black soul among teenagers with white soul or white rock and roll. You see, theirs is usually on the flip light words, you know, like comic strip style. But black people's music goes deeper. They tell about problems, deep problems. And this is the difference. And also, as I said, the next time you have any cultural events, I wish you'd advertise it, because we'd be very interested in seeing it. And I know a lot of the black people from the community would always also be interested in seeing some of these things too. So I think you should advertise it more.
Okay, fine. I don't think we have any other comments on that one, so why don't we go on? And this is the educational process. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Mr. Martin asked part of it, but I have wondered about on the entertainment if Barbara Brown could tell us, and she mentioned one